And so we see a contrast immediately between two people. We have David, who's attentive to the things of God. He's listening to God. He's close to God. He's a man after God's own heart. And then you have Eliab, right, who obviously heard the prophetic word from Samuel that David was anointed as the new king of Israel. And by the text, it's clear to us that Eliab is rejecting that out of hand. And not only that, we already know on three occasions prior to this that Saul, the current king, was already rejected because of his disobedience and his failure of character. He had already been dismissed. So we see these two men, Eliab's response, characterized by contempt and anger, and of course David, in the text, is characterized by fear.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Senior Pastor Joe Suazo.
Let's remain standing for God's Word. We're going to get right into perhaps one of the most well-known accounts of Scripture, and that's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In your pew Bibles, that would be 239, and the account of David and Goliath. Now, the application is just so easily seen in this passage. We all have giants. There's not one person in this room does not have a challenge that is bigger than themselves. I think we can all agree on that, right? There are things, maybe it's you, that you're your own worst enemy. We all have giants, and we can't come at them in our own strength, really. If you could listen to the songs this morning, thank you, Pastor John, for the song selection. Every one of those songs really was a reminder that we need the Lord as our strength in this life. And so we come to this amazing passage called David and Goliath. And it's in that passage we discover something, a small boy of 17 coming against a 9-foot giant. And of course, he secures victory. That's good news for us because we all have 9-foot giants in our lives, don't we? So let's begin. We're going to do this in three readings because it's a long chapter and I don't even want to. I was thinking, can I just take a portion of it? No, we're going to do the whole thing. Pastor Joe's going to punish you. I'm not going to make you stand the whole time, but we're going to break this up into three readings. And the first one is going to be chapter 17, verses 1 through 30. And we begin in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. Now, just if you're a Bible studier like I am, notice that Philistine army is already in Israel. That is not good news when your enemy is in your home base, right? So let's just point out the critical nature of the situation here. If we had an enemy in New Jersey coming against us, that would be bad news, right? That's where they're at, which belonged to Judah and encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes Demim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up a line against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 feet tall. I don't think I've ever met a 9-foot person, have you? I think the tallest person I've ever met was about 6'10", and that is a huge person. 9 foot tall. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's about 125 pounds. This is a strong guy. He had a bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's just 20 pounds in and of itself. And his shield bearer went before him, and he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So that's your next detail in the text. They are not a quieted bunch here. They're terrified at what is going on. Now, David was the son of an Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judah and named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years, and the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the name of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, this Philistine Goliath came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. And take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines, and David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp and at the host, as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry, and Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. So this is the second time the text tells us that they're fearful, they're terrified. This is not the condition you want your army to be in going into battle. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest son, eldest brother, heard when he spoke to them, what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil in your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a word?" Father, we ask as we just begin to journey through this text to speak to our hearts, Lord. We all have fears, every one of us in this sanctuary this morning. We all have Goliaths. We all have things that, Lord, we want removed from our lives, but you've allowed them there for a reason, Lord, that if we're willing to prove yourself as a true God, a God who fights on our behalf. Give us wisdom, Lord, and faith beyond ourselves, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Now you may be seated. You know, when we come to this account, we find another truth besides coming to the Goliath of our life, another application. And it's this, the difference between those who listen to God's word, those who are attentive to the things of God, and those who are not. Now, obviously, the one who's attentive to God's word in this text is David. If you remember going back to last week, David was a man who was after God's heart. David was a man who, as time went on, wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible. David was a man who would ultimately lead Israel back to God in revival. And so he was a man after God's heart. He was attentive to the voice of God. He knew how to spend time with God. He was close to God. And if you remember last week, chapter 16, when God sent Samuel the prophet to Jesse, his father, with the command that I want to appoint a new king of Israel. He had rejected Saul, that God brings out the whole family, and Jesse sends out his eldest son, which is Eliab. He's the villain in the text, one of the villains, the antagonist in the text. And then the other six brothers, and God says, I've rejected all of them. And if you remember last week, Samuel said, is there another son? He says, well, the youngest, and he's tending sheep. So they send for David. He anoints David. Now, just as a thought, now that this is the backdrop of the text. This is not something that Eliab, the oldest brother, would forget. He was rejected as the king. His other brothers reject, and they pull out small David, a 17-year-old boy, and he's anointed with oil by the judge of the land, by the prophet of the land, Samuel, by the word of God. And so we see a contrast immediately between two people. We have David, who's attentive to the things of God. He's listening to God. He's close to God. He's a man after God's own heart. And then you have Eliab, right, who obviously heard the prophetic word from Samuel that David was anointed as the new king of Israel. And by the text, it's clear to us that Eliab is rejecting that out of hand. And not only that, we already know on three occasions prior to this that Saul, the current king, was already rejected because of his disobedience and his failure of character. He had already been dismissed. So we see these two men, Eliab's response, characterized by contempt and anger. And of course, David in the text is characterized by fear. So this morning, I want us to look at just two basic truths here. First, what does an indifferent, stubborn heart look like? Have you ever struggled with that, just indifference? Indifference is the idea that, you know, you could take it or leave it. It's like you're so immersed in the things of the world that you hear the word of God and it's just not having a grip on you. We've all been there at different times in our lives. That is not where you want to be in the kingdom of God, by the way. We're going to look at the difference between that and a person like David, who is a man after God's own heart, who we will see in the text as it proceeds, is willing to step out based on faith in the promises of God, based on faith that God himself would fight this battle for him. That is the contrast that we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, because we need it, that the Spirit of God would bring attention to our heart through his word. Father, we're grateful for the words of God. They're living, they're active, they're sharper than any double-edged sword. I would pray this morning, Lord, help us not to leave here without some application, that our hearts and our lives would be changed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's go back again to chapter 16. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to reiterate. God, in chapter 16, verse 1, rejects Saul as king. This is a reiteration, by the way, from chapter 15 after Saul's deliberate disobedience to the prophetic word of God. So we have a man here who's ignoring God's word, who's going his own way. Now, God sends Samuel, of course, in chapter 16 again to anoint a new king. And we get that great verse of scripture, which we looked at last week, is that God looks at the man looks at the outer appearance of things, but God looks at the heart. True or not true? True. So we saw last week that one of the most important things that we can do is to sensitize our hearts to be in tune with God's heart, that we may see things as God sees them. Because in our passions, our angers, our jealousies, our sin, we have a tendency to be warped in our understanding and see things incorrectly. That was true of Jesse. That was true even of Samuel himself. And so God reminds us that while we look at the outer appearances, God who looks on the heart of things. All this was incredibly dramatic for Jesse and his family. Can you imagine your youngest brother being appointed as the king of the nation? Most commentators believe that David would have been 17 when all that happened. That is really young if you think about it. Yet God had chosen him based on the condition of his heart. Now, we can only conclude that while Jesse may have been somewhat indifferent, because remember, Jesse's sending David on a small task. What's that task? Bring cheese and bread to your brothers. That was the task. So perhaps he was indifferent, but certainly Eliab, by the text, the oldest brother, was stubborn and dismissive of the prophetic word of God. He was well aware, the brother of Samuel's declaration. You know, this is a reoccurring theme throughout the scripture. You find a contrast between those who walk by faith based on the promises of God's word and those who walk according to dictates of their own hearts, their own strength. We find it throughout scripture. We see it from the beginning of the Bible, actually. For example, Cain and Abel. You had Cain who offered a sacrifice that was rejected by God, while Abel, of course, pointing to the prophetic blood of Christ, was willing to bring blood to the sacrifice, and God had rejected Cain. That's the exact words that are used in the Genesis account, chapter 4. We see it in the entire world and Noah. Noah was declared a righteous man, and God chose Noah, and that through his family would come all the families of the earth, by the way, while the entire world was judged by flood. We saw it in Abraham's sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac being the son of the promise. That's literally how Galatians describes him. And Ishmael becomes a type of the flesh, somebody who's not walking according to the things of God. We see it in Jacob and Esau, Moses, Pharaoh, the kings of Israel, Jesus and the religious establishment, and the persecution of the church. In other words, all of history is characterized by this one thing from the point of view of Scripture. Those who are attentive to the word of God, those who are willing to listen, those who are willing to heed to it, those who are willing to turn to God, and those who go their own way. That's it. I love that scripture in Proverbs says that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the full light of day, but not so the wicked. They do not know over what they stumble. Psalm 1 talks about that those who meditate on the law of the Lord will day and night are like trees planted by water bearing fruit in due season. Not so with the wicked, Scripture says. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. This is a reoccurring theme throughout Scripture, and it's so simple for us to understand when we look at it. Hebrews chapter 2, God warns us of the consequence of a person who dismisses his prophetic word. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. Today. That means each of us here this morning can choose today to listen to what God would have to say to our hearts through his word. Today. Not some distant future. Not say, hey, Pastor Joe, I'm going to get my life together first and then go to God. It doesn't work that way. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. Now, the Hebrews writer is reminding us of what happens when we fail to heed to what God is telling us. It is a warning that just as the generation of Israel failed to enter into a rest into the promised land because of their disobedience and insolence, so we too will not enter that rest. Apostle Peter, in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 19, listen to the way how he describes the word of God. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. He's talking about the scriptures, the Bible, to which you'll do well to pay attention to as what? A lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. All this is, by the way, pointing to Jesus. Remember what we were talking about? King David is a type of Christ. He's pointing to Jesus' future. Jesus is called the Son of David. And so the first thing we see about a stubborn, insolent heart is a failure to heed to God's word. There's a second thing here, and that's anger and dismay at what God is doing. Have you ever been angry at what God is doing in your life? Now, if you're shaking your head, no, you're a liar. You're a big, fat liar. Because I certainly have. I remember years ago, I was trying to get into the business world, coming back from India, and it was resulting in a little bit of loss and chaos in my life. I remember walking on the Appalachian Trail, yelling at the top of my lungs against God, shaking my fist against God. Why are you allowing this failure into my life? I remember my father passed away. I'm at his funeral. One of my best friends who I grew up with, who came to the Lord, and I was telling him, pouring out my heart. And I said, Jerry, I said, I feel like a failure. He started laughing at me. He says, Joe, you are a failure. How do you like that for a best friend? But he was right. He was right. You see, God allows things, Goliaths, into our lives to reveal something about our hearts that we desperately, desperately need him. Do I want that Goliath? Do I want that 9-foot giant shouting into my life? Absolutely not. But God, who is sovereign, who loves us, who desires us to be transformed and changed more and more into the image of his Son, allows these things into our lives that he may have our full, undivided attention. And so we get angry. Look at what happens here. We see anger and fear. First in verse 11, chapter 17, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of Goliath, we read that they were full of fear and dismay. And the word dismay could be broken up and discouraged. In other words, they're just beside themselves. We come to David's older brother, Eliab. After he hears David's bold declaration, verse 26, the scripture says that he's full of anger in verse 28. Why? Because David's just saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Both Israel's fear and Eliab's anger and difference over God's prophetic word we're rooted in the same thing, a lack of faith. A lack of faith. A lot of people get confused about what faith is, and I share this often because it's so important for us to understand. Faith is not based on a feeling. I may not feel very spiritual one day. It has nothing to do with that. I may not feel very good about myself. It has nothing to do with that. I may feel like a failure. Faith has to do with a willingness to find my rest in what God has declared. Do I believe it? Do I trust Him to get me through? Do I think that God is able to help me stand against the giant and face that in my life? You see, faith is based on the written word of God. It's not based on myself. John's gospel, this is Jesus teaching us. I love how he speaks about the word of God. It's many, many verses on this, by the way. I could just spend the rest of our time just on this one point. But this one is just so awesome, right? If you abide in my word, abide means to remain in it, to meditate on it, to be close to it, to have it written on my heart, to let it characterize my life in everything. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples or those who are following and learning from me. That's another way of saying it. And what? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Who doesn't want to be freed from their Goliath this morning? That thing that's pestering you, that thing that's wearing you, that thing that's causing fear and discouragement. The way forward with our fears, our anger, our slander, our jealousies, our Goliaths is not the removal of those things. We all have them. The way forward is a willingness to listen to God's word, walk by faith in his promises, and be willing to face them. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, our victory comes by faith. And that leads us to our second reading this morning. Why not? Why don't we stand up for that one too? So I get you guys some exercise this morning. Bunch of pew potatoes. I'm the only one standing here. You got to suffer with me now. Page 240 in your pew Bibles, I think, or 241, somewhere around there. So we're looking at an indifferent, stubborn heart, and now we come up to the text in verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they're repeated now before Saul, and Saul sent for David, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. I love that. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. That's pretty funny. This is a 9-foot giant, and he's a 17-year-old boy. Just think about the humor here. And so Saul said to David, look, son, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a young boy. And he's been a man of war from his youth. But listen to what David says to Saul. I love this. Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him, struck him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Okay, confession here. I love watching bear attacks on YouTube video. He's saying, you have a sick pastor. You ever see a bear come at a person? They're running, my friend, not grabbing it by its beard. But here we have, this is his testimony. And I went after him, verse 35, struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught it by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, let the Lord be with you. And then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. He tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put these things off. You may be seated. Now, we come to Saul. So we looked at what is a heart that is not attentive to God's word. It's failure to heed. It's a failure to heed to God's word, to listen. And secondly, it's often characterized by an anger towards what God is doing in my life. Now we come to a third quality of indifference and stubbornness to the word of God, and that's a lack of godly wisdom. It is an amazing thing to me. I heard this sermon years and years ago of a preacher at the Billy Graham evangelistic conference that I went to years ago. I'm talking 30 years ago now. And I never forgot to this day. And he was sharing a story that this business guy was failing in his business and didn't know what to do, and he was just beside himself. He couldn't come up with a solution. And the preacher was sharing this illustration because he says, what would be more important for that man, to discern the next step or to hear from God? And so he counseled the man, go away. It's counterintuitive to what you think. You think the problem has to be solved now. Go away by yourself, spend time with this living God, and let him speak to your heart. That businessman went away, as the preacher told him to go. He sat with God for a couple days on it, and then God gave him the solution, you see, godly wisdom, and delivered him out of that situation. The business was restored. Now we come to Saul. We don't see that quality. We saw, from going back to chapter 15, a man who delighted in his own strength. Remember what Jeremiah said, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who puts his strength in flesh. And we come to verse 24, and after Saul tells people, including David, he'll enrich the man who kills Goliath with great riches, and even give his daughter as his wife. Now, in essence, Saul's saying, listen, I'll give you the future kingdom. That's really what Saul's promising here. After hearing David's willingness to go against the giant in verse 31-32, we first see Saul's unbelief and then a lack of wisdom. His unbelief, how can you as a youth fight against that giant? He's not thinking about God here. He's thinking about the limitations of a young boy. And then we see his lack of wisdom. He puts on David this coat of armor. Now, this is what I call God inserting humor into the narrative. David must have looked absurd. You know, and I love, there's cartoons and there's all kinds of things that have done a great job with this. You know, here's this boy, maybe not fully grown yet, and he's like, you know, clunking along with this big sword, overgrown male, and he can barely get along with this. And David's like, no, this is not going to work. I'm certainly going to be defeated with all that stuff. I cannot go of these, he says in verse 39. I've not tested them. God is really to tell us something here. Listen now. This is not going to be in man's strength. I don't care what you're facing today. I want you to, for a moment, to say, to yourself that I am facing, and then blank this. Fill in the blank. Every one of you here can fill in that blank. I'm facing something that's causing fear in me. I'm facing something that I just don't know what to do. It's a place where I want it gone from my life, but God has allowed it. Now, God wants to tell us something here that is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That is an incredibly important scripture for us to understand. The psalmist reminds us some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We have to make a decision in ourselves that where am I going to go with that problem? Now, this is where prayer and the Word of God become so key to our lives on a daily basis. Some of us here, and I know this to be true because I've heard from some of you, you're rushing along in life and circumstances are greater than your mission. In other words, you're just chasing things along in your own strength and you feel overwhelmed. This is a normal thing for all of us. We have a tendency to allow life and its challenges to be bigger than the mission that God has given us. God wants us to teach us something here, and He uses many scriptures to help us. This just being one of them, that you cannot face your Goliath in your own strength. You need God's help. It's that simple. The way we discover God's help is by spending time with Him in prayer, time with Him in His Word, letting the promises of God saturate us. That is a daily event. That's not something you can just do on Sundays, my friend. This is just, you know what I call this? I call this the refueling station. That's what this is. Not the destination, the refueling station. You come in here, you get reminded of what you have to do Monday through Saturday. You don't come here and say, I'm filled up and I'm on my way. No, that's not the way it works. You're filled up for a purpose to take the mission that God is giving you for your life Monday through Saturday and live out that life with the strength of the Lord, in the might of His Spirit, that you may face all the circumstances of life with a sense of joy, a sense of peace, a sense that there's victory in the future. It's that simple. I wish I could say that there was something more to it, but are you taking the time every day to delight in the Lord? I was just talking to someone yesterday, and they were just sharing with me how much they were struggling with something. And I'm telling you, this is something I did. Are you delighting in God? That's the question. Are you delighting in Him? Have you found your joy in Him? Because if you don't start there, everything else is going to get washed away. Because if I find my joy, my peace, my sense of well-being in the Lord Himself, then everything I need will be added onto me. That's what Scripture says. Jesus put it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything will be added onto you. That's what Jesus taught us. There's so many scriptures towards this end. I can, like I said, I can go on this point, but I don't think you need to hear it. What we need to do is obey by spending time with Him. So your challenge this week, we're going to go to Lord's Supper in a minute because I didn't think I was going to get through. I got through half of this. It's okay. We got next week, right? Lord willing. And if something happens to me, Aaron, you're the man. Here's my notes. Might have to hold me to that. But we're going to go to Lord's Supper. And as I shared with you before, David is a type of Christ. And go to my notes here. He's a type of Christ, an Old Testament character that points to Jesus. Like David, Jesus was anointed by God. Like David, Jesus was sent by his Father to the battlefield on our behalf, the cross. That's what this is, the cross. That was the battlefield. When Goliath, who represented the enemy of God, who leaned on his own power and strength, we have David, who, like Jesus, faced the giant with God's strength. You know, when we look at the cross, we really find an amazing truth that we see even with King David, is that Jesus faced down the enemies of death, Satan, sin, with the strength of his Father in heaven. And so now through Christ, this is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, through Christ his shed blood, we too now can stand before the living God and face whatever we're facing. Sin, circumstances, whatever that dark thought that's going on in your mind, this is where it's settled, at the cross. Father, we just pray as we break bread that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we believe that the exercise of just being still before God, taking that which is weighing us down, that burden that you've allowed in our lives, we believe, Lord, by going before you in prayer and acknowledging that Christ who died on our behalf, who shed his blood on our behalf, that in him, everything that we need is available to us. Help us to believe it, Lord, to accept it. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.